there's a delicate balance that you need to strike when you're making your MP3. When you've gotten everything recorded, you've gotten it converted into a WAV file, you're fixing to turn it into an MP3. What bit rate do you want to have that compression down to? Do we need it at a 94 or 64 or 128? Which one? You hear all these different numbers being thrown around. What do they mean, and why does it matter? We're going to talk about that this week on Podcast Dojo.
Master the art of the podcast. It's
Podcast Dojo!
Hey there, everybody. Hello, and welcome to Podcast Dojo, the show that each week inspires those wanting to start a podcast to grab a mic and start recording, to coach those who are already recording to master their niche, and to cheer the podcasting community on as podcasting grows more and more popular each and every day. I'm your host, Brian, and I want to thank you for taking the time out of your very busy day to sit down and put your earbuds in and have me talk sweetly into your ear. So today we have got a lot of conversation. I've been hearing a lot of different conversations going on about we'll start at the very beginning. We'll start off with, there's been a lot of discussion about why Stitcher. Oh, I can't listen to Stitcher. I can't listen to my show on Stitcher. It's horrible. It's terrible. Well, why is Stitcher so horrible? Why is it so terrible? And then we're also to do that, we have to actually go into what is compression and what is the MP3 compression. And so we're going to talk a bit about that. And then also we have an update, and I'm bringing back an old segment called Tools and Tips of the Week. And we've got a tool this week for those who are hoping to find another way of bringing a little bit of money in. So anyhow, we'll get ourselves started. Let's get rolling down the road, so to speak. Before we even get started, though, and now that I said we're going to get started, I'm going to put the brakes on one more time and just say, those of y'all who were listening last week, I mentioned episode 31, like 31 different times. I was on the wrong episode. Holy smokes. Talk about your normal, common, everyday problem. That's one of the big ones a lot of podcasters will actually end up doing. They will actually end up stating that they're on episode, you know, whatever, and they're either ahead one or behind one. So, yeah, I've corrected it. Now, if you go to episode number 31, or podcastdojo.com/031. It's going to take you to episode 31 with a link going back to 30. But once I was re-listening to the show, I was like, oh my God, this is 30. I just realized I was flubbing it through the whole time. So everything's now fixed. 30 is in episode 30 is in episode 30 slot. This is episode number 31. And so that's, we're actually going to be talking about MP3 compressions this run. So what is an MP3 compression? Okay. Well, the best way to describe this is if you take an MP3 or take a WAV file, that is, if you're a photographer, that is the raw file. That is, for every pixel on there, that is a bit of information, just a little bit. Dip, boop, boop. So depending on how much stuff's going on and how big of a picture that is, that file size can get rather large. A WAV file, every little creak, step, lip smack, all that type of stuff gets put into a WAV file. And for every little sound it hears, that's a little bit of information, a little bit of data. And so all that gets grouped together to make this one file. Well, that's going to be a monstrous file, especially for a half hour to hour long show. So what is a way to fix that? Well, you can mash it down, kind of like a trash compactor that you used to remember back in the 80s. Everybody had one of those trash compactors. All the kids loved it. They put once it was full and you got to turn it on and you'd hear it smash, and then it'd come back up and you'd open it up and it'd only be half full down. You thought it was just too cool because it smashed, it compacted, or it compressed the trash. Well, in a way, you're kind of doing the same thing with your MP3 file. You are taking it using a math, which again just completely blows my mind. It's a set of numbers somehow goes through and converts. Well, I not near as mind blowing now that I'm actually talking and thinking about it at the same time, because, well, your data is nothing but zeros and ones. It's data. It's numbers. So, but anyhow, using a very complex, or at least in my opinion, a very complex algorithm, it is able to take out the silence, which is a sound for a recording for a wave file. That's a bit of information that there's no information, and it strips it out. And it takes the really high parts that we're not supposed to really be able to hear, and the really low parts that we're really not supposed to be able to hear, and kind of strips all that out. Now, is it 100% effective? Is it perfect? Well, no, nothing's perfect. There's actually an article out that I came across. It's called The Ghost in the MP3, and they used Suzanne Vega's Tom's Diner, that, you know, do 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 do, do, you know, that whole, I'm not gonna torture quality. But, and what they did is they actually went through and they played the video and the audio of what was actually taken out. So everything that an actual MP3 file has was removed out of this particular audio file, and they made it as a video also. So you see just ghosts of images, and you hear just ghosts of sound, and you kind of, you understand where that song is in the whole scheme of things, because it's all the excess information that is actually filtered out is played through. And there'll be a link to that in the show notes at podcastdojo.com/031. So with an MP3, it takes everything and it takes all the excess out, rips it out. And with that lack of excess information, you actually get a smaller file. Now you can adjust how much excess stuff it takes out by adjusting the bit rate. You have a 32-bit encryption or compression, 32 kilobits a second compression. It's actually going to take a whole lot more out because it's dealing with less kilobits, as opposed to if you were to use a 256-bit compression or kilobits per second, you would have better than CD quality. Now the difference is one's going to be for a 30-minute file, going to be a really small file, while the other one is going to be 4 or 5 times bigger. Not going to try to do math at the moment, but so it's just, you know, as an example. Okay, nothing, that stuff is, the amount of times is not to scale. But, so, you've got a balancing act with your podcast. When you get finished recording just the best show on the earth, you want to get it out there for your listeners to see. Well, okay, that's good. You want to have it out there, obviously. But, when you're going to compress a file down, you've got to make a decision. Which one do you want to sacrifice more? Do you want to sacrifice quality, or do you want to sacrifice size? You can have all the size you want and have great quality by, you know, compress your file at 256 kilobits. But you can also take that, again, you can sacrifice the quality of your sound and have really horrendous sound and record at 32 kilobits. Now, I'm going to actually even throw another dimension into this, because that what we're talking about right there is if you were, say, you got a 50 meg file, all right, say for 30 minutes for an hour, it's about 50 megs. You can actually half that down to 25 megs fairly easily by doing one little setting, and that is take your amazing audio file that you have in stereo and turn it into mono. It's just you talking, and you really, when you're having a conversation with somebody, some people like to try to be really creative and put one person's voice in one ear and the other person's voice in the other ear, and that's unlistenable, okay? It'll drive you up the wall. I've had people who do that, and I can't make it through. I have yet to make it through an episode of people who do that. And so you don't want it for an audio or for an audio podcast, having stereo really doesn't, unless you're a music-based podcast. And still, you want to make sure the voice goes into both channels, both your left ear and your right ear. Have them both in there. It'll bounce it out. It drives people at the wall. Besides, you have people who listen with just one earbud in while they're doing the dishes, so that in case the wife comes in and says, "Hey, honey, I need to watch such so and so," he's not going to get himself in trouble. The husband's not going to get himself in trouble because he's sitting there just doing whatever it is he's in the kitchen and looking like he's ignoring the wife. Never ignore the wife. If you're not married, you never ignore the wife. So you want to have, once you go mono, you half the file size instantly. So that way you could actually record at 256 kilobits per second and just go mono, and all of a sudden you've doubled that. So a lot of people say, you know, record at CD quality, 128 kilobits per second, mono, and it's like you're recording at a 256 kilobits per second stereo. Okay, good point. Still a little high, though. You can actually compress that down even more. So a lot of people have taken, you know, the halfway route, and some go a little above the halfway mark and do like 96 kilobits per second, while some do 64. I'm a 64 person. That's like you take that and it's mono, and you record it, you encrypt it at mono. It's like it's the same as doing 128 kilobits, which is CD quality. Now, the audio files out there will go, yeah, but you can hear the lack of you're starting to get a little tinny in the high areas, and you're getting other distortions in the low areas, and because that's what it does. It takes stuff off, however much, takes a little more off the top and a little more off the bottom. So, you know, 64, you got quite a bit taken off top and bottom. 32, you got way too much taken off top and bottom. And again, if you try doing a 32 kilobits mono, you're going to, I mean, it's like it's just too low. Lots of weird sound. And I went through and I made made audio samples so that if you wanted to listen to, you could go to podcastdojo.com/031. And on there, I've got 32 kilobit mono, 64 kilobit mono, and all the other monos styled, all the other sound clips, a little minute long sound clips of of one of the shows that I just took out of a WAV file and recompressed them down at these different levels so you could hear the difference. Now, you'll want to use some decent headphones and in a quiet room to really hear the difference, but you'll get around to understanding once at that point why Stitcher, some people have an issue with Stitcher. They, especially as podcasters, because we're working with sound. So we really start training our ears and becoming more and more audiophile and becoming audio snobs because of how we want to listen to the sound. We aim for a particular type of sound to come out. And so we get this sound, we strive for this particular sound, and we want to start playing with that balancing act of, let's see how small we can get it with still having a good sound that the audience will listen to. So why do you want the quality? Well, okay, to start off with quality wise, the quality of a podcast is evident. If you've got a really cruddy sounding podcast, go listen to Blog Talk Radio. Holy smokes. Talk about a bad audio. That will make your ears almost bleed. It is so bad. I hear if I go to try picking up a new podcast, and the first thing out of there is Blog Talk Radio. Guess what I'm doing? I'm not even going hardly past that. I'm stopping. I'm like, it's not even worth the headache and the heartache of trying to listen to the stellar content this person may be putting out. Now, granted, their BTR is fixing to, from what I'm understanding, fixing to be releasing a updated version and making it to where we can hear and speak and record a whole lot better than what we are able to now. But at the moment, Blog Talk Radio, horrible. Can't stand that audio quality. That is bargain basement. And for that quality of radio or of audio, they charge way too much. Not enough. No. Yeah, you might be able to start doing other styles of recording and improve. But at the same time, there's way too much money that they're charging. So you don't want to go really low because obviously quality keeps people from listening to your show. If your show sounds like crud, they're not going to listen to the stellar content. Now, you have stellar content, it may allow people to suffer through lower quality audio. Dave Jackson here a couple weeks ago had an issue where he was doing a recording with the girl from Savvy Sexy Social. She just started up a podcast and they had a good interview going on. Great interview. Lots of awesome information in there, but it's not up to Dave's typical standards. And he went ahead and he pushed it through because, well, obviously it was a recording. It was an interview and he gotten had recorded and probably had a hard time trying to get, what's her name to actually go through the, to get an interview. And he was actually able to land it. And it was just, it's good. It will suffer through it. And honestly, it was good enough content that, yeah, you could hear the airy noise in the back that was going on. Like there was a fan close by to somebody's head and the distortions that, in Dave's voice were there. But I was personally, willing to overlook it and said, you know what? It's a 1 in 400 for Dave. Well, he's had a couple others that went wonky, but still he out of 400 episodes, he's had very few really cruddy episodes. So I was willing to overlook it because he puts out such great content, but at the same time has great quality too. So when the quality slipped a little bit, I'm not willing to overlook it. If somebody puts out great content, but it's always just horrendous sounds, I'm not going to listen. I don't know a whole lot of other people who are going to listen, especially people who are podcasters, because again, like I said, we kind of get to be an audio snobs after a while. So you want to have a good quality. You know, 64K or 128 kilobits per second is a good quality. CD quality is 128 kilobits a second at 44.1 bit rate, sample rate. Now, I just may have just used a whole bunch of jargon that you may not understand. So let me go ahead and kind of explain. What is a sample rate? Well, sample rate is a good way to look at that is a frame rate on movies. Frame rates usually are around anywhere from 12 frames a second up to 60 frames a second. The faster the frames go by, the smoother the picture goes by. Same way with sample rate. Sample rate is how many frames, in audio terms, how many frames per second. So the higher the sample rate, the smoother the sound flows, while the lower it gets real bad. Now you're going, well, why don't people just up that? Well, that's because you have to have a player that syncs up with that sample rate. If you had a projector that let's use the old reel-to-reel style where you actually had actual film, not the digital. You would have, if a lot of times what it was is instead of having a film just run past, there was actually a shutter that would open and close with each new, frame. Now, what would happen is if you had a frame that was going to, or you had a movie that had too high of a frame rate, it would actually get out of sync. And so you would get a weird flicker and things wouldn't look right. And it wouldn't play right. And that's the same problem that you have with when you don't have your sample rate set in Audacity or any of the other audio editing file, software you're using. If you always want to have that set to 44.1 as a sample rate. Now the bit rate that I would keep talking about, like the 128, that is, again, that is just how much it gets compressed, and it kilobits per second is how much of a compression does it need to do in a per second basis is a good way to visualize it. Not exactly correct. I'm going to let you know that's not exactly the best description or most correct description, but it's the best way that I see in my head as to how to describe what kilobits per second are, because 32 kilobits per second, yeah, that's, you got to crunch down. So you've only got a little bit of data you have to unfold. And so if you try to unfold it, there's going to be big gaps that are in there because you folded it down to just 32 kilobits. While if you've got a picture and you've got it folded at 128, you're not going to have, it's a lot more data packed in there. So when you unfold it, there's a lot less holes and gaps in the sound quality. So you don't want to have too high, because when you go too high, you're going to have file size problems. And we're fixing to talk about file size, and you don't want to be too low, because then it really starts affecting the audio quality itself. So you want to find a happy medium. Now, what do I use? I like I said, I like to use 64 kilobits mono, which is 128 stereo. So in iTunes, because the way I work is I use Audacity, and whenever I'm done doing all of my editing, I save my file as a WAV file. Take that WAV file, throw it into iTunes, and use iTunes Fraunhofer encryption, MP3 encryption. It produces a better spoken word encryption instead of the lame encoder. Lame encoder works really good for variable bit rate. You don't want to use a variable bit rate because most players understand what variable bit rate is and are able to play it. And it's a variable bit rate is just another way of even cramming compressing stuff down even more. So you've got a bit rate that is, at the silence, you may take the bit rate and you may cram it all the way down to 28 kilobits per second. While you've got lots of room filling sound, you may actually crank it up to 256 kilobits per second, and it varies and it jumps around and it changes. And that's where they get variable bit rates. As I save a file, you do constant bit rate or a CBR. It's more compatible with a whole lot more audio players. So when you take your file, you want to have about a 64 kilobits compression. It gives you a good quality. It's CD quality. And I'm sorry, I got sidetracked on something, and then let's jump back over there. So at iTunes, I've got sidetracked on explaining. So anyhow, in iTunes, I would actually have it set for 128 kilobits mono. So that actually takes the 128 kilobits, crams it down, and actually is using 64-bit encryption so that it actually is a great quality, but has a lower file size. So now when it comes to your file size, though, what you're wanting to look for is as small as possible. Now, a lot of people have recently also, I've been hearing some people say, well, people just aren't paying attention to their data anymore. And I'm going to have to call BS on that one. Out of the sheer fact that I am one who is conscious about how much data I use. Now, the younger kids, those young whippersnappers over there, they probably don't give a rat's behind about how much data they use. And the reason why is because, one, they've got a little bit more, they don't have near as much of the financial responsibilities as what the old fogies do. Okay. I have got four phones on my data plan, on my phone plan. All right. And it's a tiered system. Now, grinds my gears that they decided, hey, we need to go to a tiered system that used to be unlimited data. It was awesome. It was great. It was euphoria and just magical and everything else that was great about it. And then they just like, okay, well, we're going to stop people from using so much data. Let's charge them. We can make some more money. And so, boom, we're going to a tiered data system. You got 5 gigs, you got 10 gigs, 15, 25 on up. The more you have, the more it pay. The more data you want, the more you have to pay. So I don't have that much of a data plan because, well, I'm trying not to pay $500 a month I'm trying to keep my phone bill below my house payment is what I'm trying to do. And it's difficult at times, very difficult at times. But you have to, the first time a person goes over their data, and it's not, I mean, unless they've gone off and they've spent a good chunk of money and have got a, you know, like a 50 gig plan, and they are doing nothing but watching everything on their data plan, they're probably not going to go through 50 gigs, but I've only got 20, just to let you know. And 20 between four, one of them being a 15-year-old girl who loves Instagram, and the other one being a 19-year-old boy who loves his YouTube videos. I'm sure as heck not going to spend my data, because what I've done is I've actually allotted them. You only get 4.5 gigs. He only gets 4.5 gigs. And so they hit their limit, and all of a sudden they lose their data after about the fourth month of going over and spending an extra $100-something-odd on data. It was, I figured, you know what, someone's going to have to learn to stop. And so, but I don't want to spend my data listening to all my podcasts. Which, I mean, there's ways to be able to set it so you don't. But there are people out there who like to stream, or not stream, but progressive download. Let's actually use the proper term for what it is. Progressive download, where you actually are downloading the file. So, like, you don't, okay, so you don't have, you're using, say, Pocket, well, even the podcast app. You hit play, and it's not downloaded to your phone yet. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to start downloading to your phone. Now, it's not going to start. It's going to start playing after it gets enough data in. But as the file continues to download or play, it's going to continue to download, which is going to down. It's going to consume your data bit for bit. Okay, there's no compression of the streaming audio or progressively downloaded audio. Now, streaming, that is like if you're listening to a radio station, you don't have a choice as to what's coming next. That's streaming, okay? It's a stream. Think of water rushing down. Once the water's past you, it's not coming back to you. A progressive download is when you want it, it starts downloading, and you consume it as it gets downloaded. So a lot of people will do progressive downloads. Stitcher actually does progressive downloads. They don't actually stream. You're able to choose, hey, I'm wanting to listen to this next podcast. Boom. And it starts playing that particular podcast. And then it goes to whichever and starts bouncing around. But as you're listening, it downloads that portion of the show. And so that's one of the reasons why Stitcher sounds so bad, is because they've decided to forego quality for file size and try to help their listeners out, so that the people who use Stitcher will actually listen to it and will download the file and not have it impact their data plan nearly as much. Does it still? Oh yeah, bit for bit, even receiving multimedia messages actually consumes your data. So you want to make sure you're being nice to your audience and shrinking it. Now the other issue is. You don't want to have a monstrous file that they have to download, because people's phones, which is what they normally listen to podcasts on, if they download, have a finite amount of storage. Now, even the iPhone 6s with 128 gigs worth of storage, still, that's 128 gigs. Yeah, it's going to take a while for you to fill that up, but eventually, if you don't remove stuff, you're going to fill up that phone or iPod. Well, no, they don't have a 128 gig iPod. I don't think they do. If they do, you leave them a comment there at podcastdojo.com/031. So you want to be nice is the best way. Think of your audience. Are they, if your podcast deals with starving artists, guess what? They're probably not going to have enough money to really afford a whole lot of data plan. And so they're really going to be focusing in on, well, I've only got 5 gigs of data. So be nice. Keep your file as small as possible, but try, in your opinion, to what you think is the best without sacrificing too much. But remember, when you're sacrificing for the sound quality, remember where your audience listens to your show at. Is it in the gym while they're running? Well, guess what? Those ellipticals and treadmills and weight machines make a lot of noise. Is it while they're mowing the lawn? Well, even the electric lawn mowers make a bit of noise. In your car, unless you're driving a Cadillac, you're going to have a good bit of road and engine noise. Most people, when they're walking and listening to podcasts, or even just doing whatever it is that they typically do on how they consume your podcast, it's usually going to have some type of outside noise. They're not going to have studio quality cans on in a soundproof room listening and hanging on every word you say. Yes, they're going to be listening to every word you say. That's the glory of podcasts, but it's not going to be, they're not going to focus in so intently on what your background noise is doing. Or are you getting a little bit tinny on the high ends? So you're not going to have to worry so much if you sacrifice some of your quality for sake of your file size. So now, okay, now let's talk about, let's go ahead and completely change our topic, because the quality and versus size is going to be epitomally falls upon your shoulders as to what you want. But wanted to get some new information that has come in here recently, just within the last couple, 3 days. Blueberry actually put out a little update to the PowerPress, and it's more of a just kind of a bug fix type of update. It was a 6.0.2, but they did go off and they fixed some specific global podcast. Let's see here. Okay. Well, try that. Yeah, that works a lot better. My notes were getting cut off. I had to go long view. Some of the podcast settings or specific global podcast settings were not getting applied when the podcast channel settings in iTunes new feed URL or feed maximizer options were configured, then deleted afterwards. So basically, if someone was like, all right, well, we want to change this. Oh, never mind. Don't want to change it. There was some hiccups that would go on. There were a couple bugs that would come that would crop up. And so that's, they made it fixed where it only affects, the settings if you've deleted the default newsfeed now. There's also, made a few changes to, wp.config define options, added a define option, a WordPress disable iTunes WTF8. WTF8 is what would you call that? A standard almost, I guess. Anyhow, it's a type of, it's for in web browsers, there's different types of, I don't know exactly the best way to describe that. But anyhow, there's a few sites that don't use WTF8. So it's more of a techie side item that happens. So if you end up not using WTF, if you don't listen to Mark Maron's podcast, UTF8, you can actually go in there and set it so that it causes some issues in the website and in the newsfeed itself. The subscribe short code embeds attributes that are now strictly enforced. If you enter a category or podcast channel and it doesn't exist, the short code will empty and no longer fall back onto the main podcast settings. The subscribe short code embed specifying a category, not displaying a category fixed. That's actually someone apparently was trying to do that and found a bug. So it threw a bug in. So that would be a bug report, and quite a few other little bug reports thrown in there, considering categories and some added logics, strings, and got a better Danish translation in there, and added a new subscribe embed attribute heading. You can now customize and subscribe to label and add the to the subscribe to label, and few other items in there. So great to see. They're always good to know that PowerPress is getting better and better and better with each and every single release. And now want to talk about this. This is a thanks to Paul Colgan. Paul Colgan, if you haven't listened to his show, go to it. It's thepodcastreport.com. And Paul is a veteran podcaster. He has been podcasting basically since it started. Now, I, for a little while, had never heard of Paul, and he kind of came into the scene and was like, I've been here forever and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, I've never heard of you. And I hadn't until this year, and I'd never heard of him until then, but I got to looking around, and sure enough, the dude has been around for a while. I just wasn't running in the circle that ran with him. And so this, and that's one of the, again, the falls onto the discovery issue of podcasts, but is there a discovery issue, or is it just a word of mouth issue? That's for you to decide. But Paul came out with a little bit of news that he discovered a new way of being able to help your fans throw some money your way, be a good way to describe it. Or even if you're a business, say if you have a service type of business, this will actually be great for you. And it's called cash.me. And it's not like cachet. It is cash.me, cash me. And what it is, it's brought to you, it's Square Cash is what it is. And it's brought to you by the same folks who do the Square credit card reader, where you can just plug the little credit card deal in your headset jack and your eighth inch headphone jack and be able to swipe cards and take payments till your little heart's content. You can do it that way, or you can now just say, hey, go to, in my case, cash.me/$ dollar sign, and all of them will have a dollar sign as the first thing. Dollar sign podcast dojo, all one word, and that'll take you to the cash.me page. And down at the bottom, and when you go there, it'll show you, hey, this is however much money you want to throw in there and how much you want to, and then down at the bottom, you put in your credit card information and any remarks that you want to make about it, click send. And for 1.5% of whatever that is, so if it's a dollar or if it, you send them a dollar, then they get 92.5 cents out of that. So highly inexpensive, or at least in my opinion, it's really inexpensive. 1.5% of $100. I mean, that's what, $1.50 piece. I can live with it. It's simple, clean, lots of opportunities that this can be used for. Not just going, I'm actually looking at using it more for the podcast dojo side. So if, when it's time for people to actually sign up for a course or whatever, I can probably send them over to cash.me site and say, all right, and just in the remarks, put class or whatever. And I'll know that if that's, they've paid. Now, I don't know. I'm still playing around with it and figuring out exactly how all this would end up working. So, but it's a neat idea. I'm excited about it. Ready to start trying it out. And if you want to throw a dollar or two my way as a donation, as a thank you, I will take it and I'll mention you on the air. So, but we've got that, more little cool tools and tips and shortcuts and hacks that are coming around with podcasting. And so things are looking great. 2015 is definitely you're going to see a lot of cool things happen in the world of podcasting. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to leave it there. If you happen to want to start up a podcast though, you can get a hold of me and say, hey, I've got an idea for a podcast. I want to get started. Help me out. I would be honored to help you out. I'd love being able to see people start and get their website together. And if you need me to set your website up for you, you know, I don't need to set it up for me. If you want me to help you set it up for you, I can do that. If you want anything in through the line of getting a person set up, I would be honored. I would love to be able to get you set up, and I would work tirelessly to get you set up and get you going, get you through the process of getting your show from development all the way up to brainstorming on ways that you can grow your audience. So if you need any help, get a hold of me, podcastdojo.com/contact, and myriad of different ways you can contact me there. And I would be honored to hear from you. Noah, there's not, hadn't been any, iTunes reviews. If you would please go to iTunes.com/review or podcastdojo.com/review. Give me however many stars you think I need, I deserve, and leave a review to let people know why you gave them that stars. Doesn't have to be a long dissertation. It can be, you know, it's cool, works for me also. Just every little bit helps bring us up in the rankings of iTunes so that more people see us and we're more people get to join the community of Podcast Dojo. So folks, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your day again for stopping by and listening. And we will see you next week. But till then, go tell the world who you are.
Hey Rolling Podcast Network.